And whilst you're listening to this, you're going like, oh, that's Kim Kardashian. She's a big figure, celebrity that would possibly never happen to me. I'm a small online business owner. But I want you to really think about when it comes to your business and when it comes to naming the offers that you have, when it comes to naming the programs that you have, when it comes to the names that you're giving the products that you've put together, and maybe you like a certain name, it sounds a certain way, and you're thinking, I'd like to use that, or it really depicts the theme of what I'm trying to put across here. Take the time to think, is this culturally appropriate for me to do?
We are represented. We are represented. We are represented.
Welcome to Represented, the podcast. I'm Aniki Shuru, racial equity coach for online business owners who want to be intentionally inclusive by building a business that is racially equitable. I created this podcast to normalize a conversation around racial inclusion so that fear is no longer the barrier that gets in the way of doing this work. This isn't about perfection, it's about progress. Whether you're taking your first steps or you're well-versed in the journey towards racial equity, this space is for you. So welcome home, friend. Let's get started.
From coast to coast, at our globe, we are.
Where are you from? Really? No, originally, where are you from? Can I touch your hair? Your English sounds so good. Nah, I don't see color. Those statements I've shared are just some of the daily microaggressions that people of color face on a regular basis when they occupy white spaces. Microaggressions are subtle yet negative racial messages that leave the person on the receiving end feeling hurt, humiliated, and even disrespected. You may have used these kinds of statements to start a conversation or even break ice with a person of color, but didn't realize the harm you were causing. That's why I've created a free microaggressions guide with 5 of the commonly made microaggressions in online coaching spaces that you need to know about and what you can do or say instead. Head over to anikishuru.com/micro to download your free guide. That's anikishuru, GICHURU.com/micro, MICRO. Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Represented Podcast with Aniki Shuru. And we are up to episode number 5, people. And we're talking all things cultural appropriation in business. Before we get into the examples, I want to begin by defining what cultural appropriation is. Cultural appropriation happens when members of one culture adopt specific aspects of a different culture without consent. More often, this happens from a dominant group who benefit in some way from using aspects of this culture, which sometimes have been used against the non-dominant group. An example of this that I see happening a lot, and particularly for us in the Black community, is when it comes to braids. When white people braid their hair, particularly if you're somebody of influence, somebody who is a celebrity, and you braid your hair, and it becomes something that trends. It becomes like, this is the go-to hairstyle. Look at its originality and how beautiful it looks like. And a lot of people now want to adopt that and are looking for places to get their hair done like that. And on the flip side, when Black people braid their hair, it actually works against them. When it comes to the workplace, opportunities to get a job may not be forthcoming because of how you wear your hair. It may be deemed inappropriate or even unacceptable in the education system, where you cannot go to school or to a learning institution when you have braided hair because it is deemed unprofessional and unacceptable. But when we look at the flip side and we're seeing white folks are able to do that and in some cases get praised for it and it becomes a trend, That is an example of cultural appropriation. Now, I want us to get into some examples in business where cultural appropriation has taken place and even share with you some case studies so that by the end of this episode, you have a deeper understanding of what cultural appropriation is. And more importantly, you're being culturally sensitive when you are having your promotions for your offers, when you're doing your branding and your naming, you're being more aware and you're taking the steps to ensure that you're not culturally appropriating. If anything, you are appreciating. So I've broken this into three areas of branding, naming, and promotion and language. And I want us to begin with branding. And I'll use examples that I've put together, having done a little bit of research and put together some examples of organizations where cultural appropriation has happened, but also on the other side, sharing case studies of organizations that have done well to incorporate being culturally sensitive and inclusive. So, example number one under branding is Pepsi and the Kendall Jenner ad. Back in 2017, Pepsi released an ad featuring Kendall Jenner participating in a protest. The ad was criticized for appropriating the BLM movement. Now, if you don't know what BLM is, it is Black Lives Matter, trivializing social justice issues and oversimplifying the struggles of marginalized communities. The use of protest imagery in a soft drink commercial highlighted the insensitivity of the culture and social context surrounding the movement. In a case study where cultural appropriation has been avoided, and if anything, it has been appreciated and embedded into the organizational products design, case study where Nike's collaboration with Native American artist Bunky Echo Hawk to design a special edition shoe. The collaboration was celebrated for respecting and incorporating authentic Native American art in a meaningful way. This case study demonstrates how engaging with a person who is from that particular culture and respecting the perspectives of the community can lead to cultural sensitivity and branding. Pepsi did not do that. Example number two is when it comes to naming. And this is when Kim Kardashian tried to trademark the name Kimono. So this takes us back to 2019, and she received a lot of backlash for wanting to trademark kimono for her shapewear line. The use of the word, which is deeply rooted in Japanese culture, was criticized for cultural insensitivity. The incident highlighted the need for thorough research and consideration when naming products to avoid appropriating culturally significant terms. And whilst you're listening to this, you're going like, oh, that's Kim Kardashian. You know, she's a big figure celebrity that would possibly never happened to me. I'm a small online business owner, but I want you to really think about when it comes to your business and when it comes to naming the offers that you have, when it comes to naming the programs that you have, when it comes to the names that you're giving, the products that you've put together, and maybe you like a certain name, it sounds a certain way, and you're thinking, I'd like to use that, or it really depicts the theme of what I'm trying to put across here. Take the time to think, is this culturally appropriate for me to do? And now, a case study here of an organization that did well when it came to being culturally sensitive is Ben and Jerry's Flavor Tribute. Now, Ben and Jerry's, if you don't know, is an ice cream company. They introduced a flavor called Change is Brewing, and it was to honor the work of racial justice activists. The case study shows how a brand can use naming to promote social awareness and positive change without appropriating cultural terms. The key here is to be respectful and intentional with the choice of names. Number three, promotions and language. And an example here that was in such bad taste is H&M's Coolest Monkey in the Jungle hoodie. Back in 2018, they put together this hoodie that was featuring a black child wearing a hoodie with a text, Coolest Monkey in the Jungle. Now there was a huge uproar. The racially insensitive language sparked so much outrage and accusation of perpetuating harmful stereotype. The incident emphasized the importance of careful language choices in promotions to avoid perpetuating stereotypes and again, cultural insensitivity. Now, if we look at a case study that was done well when it comes to promotion and language is Dove's Real Beauty campaign. It's often been cited as a positive example of promoting diversity and inclusivity by featuring women of different ethnicities, body shapes, and ages. Dove embraced a more inclusive language and imagery. And the case study highlights the positive impact of using promotions to celebrate diversity rather than perpetuating stereotypes. Now, Dove has not always gotten it right. There are times they've gotten things really, really wrong and done things in a way that perhaps hasn't been ethical. But when they've gotten things right, they have gotten it right. And a lot of people have seen themselves represented and felt that this is a brand that sees me, this is a brand that knows me, and I am more likely to use their products. Now, I'm going to take a short break now, and I'll leave you with these powerful words from Julie Parker. She's the founder and CEO of Beautiful You Coaching Academy, and she's based in Melbourne, Australia. And when I come back, I'll share three ways to ensure your business is not appropriating.
I signed up for Represented because I wanted to expand my knowledge in the area of diversity, inclusion, and equity, and in particular, what those things mean from a racial justice perspective. And I am so glad that I did because Represented was a truly brilliant course. Annie Gishiru holds such deep, loving, reverent space for everyone that comes into her work and business and life. And she's also powerful and challenging when it comes to really getting yourself into action to be anti-racist and be the sort of business owner that can make a difference in this realm. I can't recommend Represented higher enough or deep enough. It was an incredible experience. The people in it were divine. The content by Annie and how she delivers it was so rich and meaningful. I learned many, many new things and had many others reaffirmed to me. And if you are a business owner that is really wanting to do more and better in this space and have a business that's truly anti-racist, then you could not learn from anyone better than Annie. She's amazing. This course Represented is incredible. And I personally think that it should be on the must-do list for every entrepreneur and online business owner in the world. It's up to us to do this work, and it's so wonderful that we have people like Annie to be able to reach out and do it with.
Welcome back. Now let's circle back to your online business now. How can you ensure your business is not appropriating? I want to share three ways in which you can ensure you're not appropriating. At least begin to take the steps to ensure you are doing the right thing. You may not always get it right, but at least you're putting steps in place to ensure that you're not appropriating. Step number one, Seek permission before you use something. I know it seems so obvious. Why wouldn't somebody ask permission to use something? But you will be amazed at the number of people who see something, like something, and use it without giving the proper due honor to where this has originated from. And so seek permission before you use something. Number two, having a racially diverse team is going to serve you in more ways than you can ever imagine. Because when we look back to those examples that I have shared, when we look back to the Pepsi ad, when we look back to H&M, when we look back to Kim Kardashian trying to trademark the word kimono, had there been somebody who was racially diverse in the team, or maybe there was, but somebody who was educated in this space to go like, hang on, I don't think what you're about to put out there is appropriate when it comes to the people who are in key decision-making positions, who's seated at the table, who are the people who are having input, who are the people who are included when it comes to decision-making. This plays such a significant role. You might be thinking, but Annie, I'm only a small business owner. I don't have a team or somebody who can come and advise me when I'm putting together my offer and I'm naming it a certain way. I don't have that, Annie. And so I don't know how this applies to me. Listen up, stay with me, because point number three is all about investing in ongoing learning. And I cannot stress this enough. This should be part of your budget as you focus for your business needs. A lot of times we focus for support from a business coach. We focus getting support from a bookkeeper or our accountant and a graphic designer and all those things that we absolutely need in our business to keep moving forward, to keep the doors open, to position ourselves in a certain way. But one of the key things that gets forgotten is when it comes to investing in matters to do with diversity, equity, and inclusion. And given the direction we are moving into, if you listened to my episode on the predictions when it comes to racial equity for 2024, one of the things that I mentioned there is having a racially equitable business. And this requires you to invest in this work. It requires you to actually be a student and do the work because it will have a profound effect on who your business is impacting. If you're somebody who continues to attract a certain group of people, you're continually attracting white women into your business. You're continually supporting them. And so at the end of the day, when you look at our industry, the coaching and personal development industry that I speak to, it is just one group of people that is getting support predominantly, and they're the ones who their revenue is growing, and they're the ones who are experiencing those successes that a lot of people with marginalized identities are not experiencing that. And so it takes you investing in your ongoing learning. And it's through that ongoing learning that you come across things like cultural appropriation and you learn to do better so that you're not making the same mistakes that perhaps others in the industry have made, have been called out, and still continue to make those harmful, insensitive decisions as far as culture is concerned. And so this is where getting on the wait list for my online program represented is really, really key. This is the one that Julie Parker was referring to in the break. And I know, as somebody who has served over 100 women inside that program, it will absolutely make a difference to not only your business, but also your life. So head over to annigishuru.com/represented. That's annigishuru, GICHURU.com/represented.
We are represented. We are represented. We are represented.
Thank you so much.
much for tuning in. Why don't you go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave a review so this podcast can reach more online business owners, and together we can begin to normalize racial inclusion in the online coaching space. I'd love to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where this podcast episode was recorded, the Wiradjuri people in central New South Wales, Australia. Music produced in Nairobi, Kenya by Patrick St. P. Mbaru and Kambua Mathu. Vocals by Joanne Matata. From coast to coast.